it felt very like stream of consciousness, but then like researched, which I guess is like this podcast. So I hope I make sense to people. Oh my gosh. Hola and welcome back to Voice Memos. In this episode, I'm recapping my experience at Autonomous Zine Fest. I'll share with you some highlights from my zine haul, how the event went, and lastly, a look into a project that I've been working on for probably the past couple weeks. So if that sounds interesting to you, grab a drink, grab a snack, get going on your hot girl walk, and let's get into it. Alrighty. I hope you'll forgive me for being a day or a couple days late on this episode. I thought about recording it earlier, and then I decided I wanted it to be about Autonomous Zine Fest, which took place on Sunday. So I was like, the Voz Memos stands are just going to have to wait. And I want to say, like, I appreciate every single person that listens to the podcast. It means a lot to me. And even though it's a small following, I really appreciate having anyone listen to my babblings every other week. So, Autonomous Zine Fest. So last year I went to Insert Name Zine Fest, and that was a little bit more of a structured zine event where it required like signing up, and there were a limited amount of spots, so you had to sign up quickly. You had to pay for your table to help the fest cover the venue fees. And I will say I did make a lot more money at that zine fest, but I'm not really in zines for the money. Zines aren't really known to be like something that you make a lot of money off of. And that was one of the pillars of this Autonomous Zine Fest, was free or low cost zines. So more often than not, I will say I did a trade at this zine fest, and then there were a number of times where either like I just threw in a free zine or like just gave away a zine if I could tell someone was really interested in it. So I wasn't too worried about making a lot of money at this zine fest, and I just charged $1 for each zine to keep it easy for me. So that was the logistics. Like, that's the premise of the fest, is like no registration, just show up. And a lot of people showed up. I heard it was bigger than the previous year. And somebody made a comment, which was kind of funny. Like, as I got there, I showed up probably like 20 minutes after it officially started. It was from 3 to 7. And I showed up and everyone's lined up along the sidewalk. And to me, I'm like, this makes sense. Like, of course we're along the sidewalk. Then people can walk past and it's easy to like approach people. You don't have to like step over anyone's blanket, because it's just like blankets. Some people brought tables. Some people had like full-on tents. But like, most people just like kind of set out their zines on a blanket, and a lot of people came with friends, so it was kind of like almost a picnic zine fest, I would say. So to me, it made sense. Like, let's be along the sidewalk. It had also rained, so you wouldn't want people to like have to walk through the mud to get to you. And the spot I sat up in, it was a little muddier than like ideally it would have been, but it was fine. People came over. I let them like sit on my blanket to look at the zines if they wanted to. If anything, I wish I brought like a bigger blanket so more people could have sat, because a couple times like I had three or four people like looking at my zines, which was really exciting. But I also felt like some of them were like, I'll just circle back when there's less people. So that was cool. But yeah, somebody commented, they're like, it looks like they self-organized along the sidewalk. And when that person's noticed that and commented on it, I was like, oh wow, that is interesting, because it's autonomous. There were no rules, there were no guidelines. And so people literally just saw somebody set up by the sidewalk, and then it started a pattern. So it was very like organized in that way, which was kind of beautiful. Like, you don't need to have like all these crazy like overhead and like structure. People kind of know how to do that at some point. So it worked out. I set up next to a pair of friends or roommates, and one was selling lightsabers and zines, which was super cool. Cornered the market there. And then the other one was giving away free zines on the queer experience. And there were a lot of queer LGBTQ zinesters there. I thought that was really awesome considering like it was Pride weekend in Minneapolis. So yeah, I think I'll go through the haul, but there were some really cool perspectives from queer zinesters. I didn't want to be stressed prepping for this zine fest, and in some ways that worked out for me, and in some ways it didn't. For example, if you're watching the video, you can see in the background my little stand I made for the zine fest. I wanted something that was lightweight because I knew I'd be carrying it like across a park, and so I recycled an old Corona box into a zine stand, and I got a couple compliments on it. I thought that was cool that people appreciated the work I put into the display, and it also helped like elevate the zines off the ground a little bit. So that was like a project for one night, was just creating a zine stand, and I didn't feel stressed. Like that just kind of came up. I just came up with that. I didn't plan to do that too far in advance, but I was also glad I had it ready to go when the day came, because I didn't prep very much and I left everything to the last minute. So I had it about like an hour and a half of pure zine folding frenzied focus, where I cut out 50 business cards and I cut out 21 of my butterfly zine bookmarks, which normally, or at least for the last zine fest, I kind of added in some extra scissor detail on those, but I just did not have time this time around. And then I also printed out additional copies of my But I Still Love Technology poetry zine, which is my bestseller. It was my bestseller for this fest. I think it would have been my bestseller for the last one if I had just had more copies of it. So I made sure this time around, I was like, okay, this one I gotta have copies. And in fact, I ran out of time. Like, I could not assemble all of the zines that I had printed out. And honestly, that was fine. It gave me something to do at the zine fest. I just kept folding. And it also gave me something to do. Like, I feel like I'm not very good with the customer interaction where, I mean, people need to browse your zines. It's not something where you can, like, give them a tour of your zines. And most of my zines, I would say, are pretty self-explanatory. Like, they're not very abstract. So I don't want to, like, over-explain what they are. I just want the people to, like, read through them, skim through them, and decide if they want to buy it or not. So the folding at the Autonomous Zine Fest let me, like, do something while the customers browsed, which, like, worked out. And by the end of the Zine Fest, like, I didn't have anything left to fold, obviously. Like, I got it done within the first hour or so, but it did help make the time go by really fast. I think the whole fest went really fast, and that was the case last year, too, with Insert Name Zine Fest. So I think I just really enjoy these types of events. I love being in person. I love seeing people resonate with the art. I love seeing other people's art. Like, the trading in itself is such a huge part of these fests, and I was on the fence if I was going to go to Insert Zine Fest, but I might just go and trade. Like, you don't have to be tabling to trade. And actually, it's kind of easier because then I can just, like, go through and trade with everyone that I want to and then leave. So I'm kind of excited to go trade at Insert Name Zine Fest. It's coming up pretty soon. So, yeah, like, I think I ended up making maybe like $25 total at this zine fest, which covered the cost of some earrings I picked up there. So that was perfect. So I made like a $6 profit in the end. Like, it was great. And I mean, most of my zines were already printed out. It kind of felt like all the supplies were free. Like, I didn't buy any new paper even. I didn't buy new ink for this. So like I said, I'm not in it for the money, but it is nice to at least break even. And I will say, like, I didn't have to pay a tabling fee, so I was already starting at a good spot. So I guess, like, I might as well get into the zine haul, because that's the most exciting thing. Like, you can check out my zines at angelageorge.com/zineland. And that's my dedicated site to all my zines. There's a couple on there that I didn't even bring to Zine Fest because I didn't really want to print out more than, like, I was already, like, so, like, limited on time. So I could have printed even more than I had, but the display was full. So I was like, we'll leave it at that. I already have so many zines printed. I don't really need to store more zines. So, yeah, let's take a look at the haul. I'm going to start off with one of my favorite ones, and I'm not going to read them all, but I will just, like, show you if you're watching the video, and then I'll give you the highlights if you're listening. This one's called Embrace Technology, Robots Ranked by Huggability. And I don't know all the robots in here. Bender is number 9. And Neptur from Adventure Time, he's number 7. It says, probably needs a hug more than anyone else on this list. And I love that so much because it's so true. And then the Iron Giant, number 4. BMO's on here. Like, I love this scene. And it's just by Finley. So you kind of had to be there to get it. This next one is a one-of-one collage zine. And I really love these because they're just so unique and fun. And it is inspiring me to, like, try to make one of these myself. But I don't know. I already collaged the whole, like, zine display this time around. So I was kind of collaged out for this round of zines. But maybe the next time. There were a lot that were, like, a little more unique, I think, just, like, in terms of folding. This next one, like, it looks like a mini zine, and I was actually so dumb when I opened it. I was like, where is all the print? I was, like, folding it the wrong way. But then it unfolds into a big print, and I'm a big fan of those kind of zines that unfold into something because it just plays on the whole, like, structure of a zine. And I get so inspired every time I go to an event like this because everyone does zines so differently. It's like a little preview into their mind. So if you can, I'd really encourage you to watch this episode on YouTube because you'll get to see some of these really cool zine visuals. Because some of these, like, there's, I mean, I have some poetry zines and I'll read an excerpt, but some of these are just like a visual experience. This next one is, it caught my eye because it's, like, printed in all red, and it's called Dating App Hell, and it's just been, like, kind of the perspective of somebody that's stuck on the dating apps, and they're just not really working out. I mean, spoiler, eventually they just delete all the apps because it's not worth it, but I think this one is very timely. I haven't been single in years, thank God. But I never hear anything good about being single. Like, I think it's really tough out there. I think there's actually studies out there that, like, Gen Z's dating culture is really hard. And Gen Z's just dating less because of it. So I get it. And I sympathize. I empathize. Some of these are just, like, really cool comics. And I would love to do. Oh, I didn't even notice this one. Like, you unfold the cover and it becomes a whole scene. So I don't know. I was just glad people were so willing to trade because then I got to get so many cool zines. This next one is a poetry zine, a mini poetry zine, which I should experiment with the mini size more. I think, like, my big seller, the best seller, is my poetry zine, and it is a bit larger. I don't know. I would like to play with some smaller formats, which means that your poetry has to be shorter and more concise. Okay, this one's called Sunday Scaries. Okay, Sunday Scaries. Sometimes when all my sorrow comes out all at once, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do, and all I want to do is curl up in a ball and have my lover hold me. Oh, Sunday Scaries, I have no lover. So the best thing I can do is turn to my vibrator. That one's, like, sad but also funny. Like, and I think the poet, like, knows what they're doing with it, of course. So I think we all have Sunday Scaries sometimes, and they are so much better when you have someone to just hold you through it. So I just would say hang in there if you're going through your single era. This next one is definitely one of my favorites. Fat cats in hats that don't fit. Are you kidding me? And it's just a bunch of beautiful illustrations of exactly that, fat cats in hats that don't fit. This one really inspires me to just like turn my sketches into a zine. I've done that at least one time. I mean, a lot of them are like very, a lot of my zines are very illustrative, but just having a pure sketch-oriented zine is really cool. And then, like I said, there was a lot of queer representation at Zine Fest. This one was from my neighbor, HJ, and it's called "You Look Silly: Consequences of Calling People the Wrong Name on Purpose." And I think it's just like a really sad story that happens to a lot of people that go through a name change, and just people around them are assholes that don't respect it. So I just love that it can make it feel a little bit lighter for something that's such a serious topic. And that's what zines are so great at doing, is like breaking down big, overwhelming topics into something that like fits in the palm of your hand. So that's really like the power behind zines. This next one is like a beautiful printed collage style zine with like little snippets of poetry. And on the back it says, "This zine was originally typed with a Smith Corona typewriter on pictures cut from National Geographic magazines, constructed inside a tiny photo album found at an antique shop. The words are mine." And I love the concept of this. It makes, like I said, I'm feeling really inspired to do a collage zine. And I have so many National Geographic magazines. I've had them for years, and they continue to like help inspire my artwork, inspire collages. They are so useful. You can find them at thrift stores. You can find them at like library book sales. They are an artist's like must have in their toolkit. The next one here is "Have I Ever Told You?" And it is the illustrated version of somebody's reoccurring dream, which is so, so cool. And I have extremely vivid dreams. I have 2 to 3 dreams every single night that I can remember when I wake up. And I definitely should try to illustrate some of them. And I actually, it wasn't a direct illustration. It was an illustration inspired by the dream. I had this dream that my dad saved us from a crocodile that was like in our house. And then later I had an assignment for my drawing class to make a coloring sheet. And so I was like, I had that alligator on my mind, or crocodile. I don't really know what it was. So I made like a monster truck alligator, not directly illustrated for the dream, but definitely inspired by a dream. And I feel like I could do a really cool zine based on some of my dreams. So that's definitely on my list now. It's tough because like you go to a zine fest and then you leave with like a million ideas for more zines, and then you're like, damn it, now I gotta like make all these zines and hope that I can like find another zine fest to go to soon. So yeah. And then this one blew me away with the format. It's formatted like a web browser, and there's actually like tabs on the top that are cut out like your tabs on a web browser, which now that I'm saying it out loud, I realize the tabs on a web browser are based on like filing tabs, which are paper, and then now you're making paper tabs of tabs. Does that make sense? Like, it kind of breaks down, but it's so cool that they, like, turned this online format into a physical format, and they're exploring the topic, am I aromantic? And so it got really deep, and it was a really moving zine. And it just, like, lets you be in the mind of somebody else, and they can be so personal. So they're just really, really beautiful. And then this was my other neighbor, "The Things We Perceive." And they said that they got all of these graphics and they were like pretty big, and then they had to like shrink it down so it would fit. And each page is like a different theme. Each image should just like kind of evoke like an emotion or a response. So I really appreciated just seeing how somebody like thinks. This one I was excited about, Oracle. Archie Bongiovanni, Oracle. And this one is kind of grappling with the topics of like AI in art and like if the AI art has any meaning to it. And I don't know if they actually do this or if it was just an idea, but it's following a Twitch, like a streamer that uses AI art to like figure out people's like fortunes. Or, yeah, as an artificial intelligence oracle, I type in a description of the problems my followers face, then interpret the art created over live streams. And they are wondering, like, at the end of the zine, they say, the year is 2042, and our main character deciphers meaning from AI art. But is there anything of substance to interpret from computer-generated images? Or is there significance behind the screen? So this one was really cool, very timely. They probably made it late 2024. I just have a few left here. But I enjoyed reading all of these so much. Like, that's the thing with these types of like calls is that you have so much fun at the event itself. And then when you come home, you have a whole stash of things to read. So this one is called Roundabout Park. A little reflection, L-I-L, a little reflection on capitalism and hostile architecture about a park I saw at a friend's house that was located, oddly enough, in a roundabout. And they weren't lying. It's a park in a roundabout, and they, like, really researched it. They took photos, and it felt very, like, stream of consciousness, but then, like, researched, which I guess is like this podcast. So I hope I make sense to people. Oh my gosh. Because this one, I loved it, but it was also a little hard to read at times because I was like, what are you saying? I think it was just the font is very big. But it was so informative. And I love, like, that is the heart of zines, is like these super niche topics that no publication would ever dedicate resources to. So you just self-publish it. You make it yourself, you print it yourself, like at the library for free or on your printer at home, and then you give it to people and then it's out in the world. So that one was also very much at the heart and soul of zine making. And this one was a really tough read. Accomplices, Not Allies, Abolishing the Ally Industrial Complex, an Indigenous Perspective. And so this one was made with the voices of Indigenous people directly influencing it. And it really made me question, like, first of all, Minnesota, the state of Minnesota is occupying Indigenous land. And I mean, we should be thinking about that every single day. We should be actively deconstructing that in any way that we can. And I'll just read like this last part in kind of the suggestions for some ways forward for anti-colonial accomplices. And they're really saying, like, allyship in itself is, I'll say what they say. Allyship is the corruption of radical spirit and imagination. It's the dead end of decolonization. The ally establishment co-opts decolonization as a banner to fly at its unending anti-oppression gala. What is not understood is that decolonization is a threat to the very existence of settler allies. So it's really asking you as an ally, like, if you are taking on that identity, you are, like, still within the structure of colonization. And so we need to be outside of that structure to deconstruct it. It was very dense. It felt very academic, which was refreshing. And so some of their final thoughts here. And their word for instead of allies, we should be accomplices. So helping to deconstruct that colonization order that we are in. And so this last paragraph says, accomplices are realized through mutual consent and build trust. They don't just have our backs. They are at our side or in their own spaces, confronting and unsettling colonialism. As accomplices, we are compelled to become accountable and responsible to each other That is the nature of trust. Don't wait around for anyone to proclaim you to be an accomplice. You certainly cannot proclaim it yourself. You just are, or you are not. The lines of oppression are already drawn. So I thought those were really powerful words, and it definitely made me think for a long time. Like, just a little existential crisis in a zine format. And then second to last one here. This one is a zine of stories. It's called Drops in the Bucket, second edition. Really beautiful artwork. I'm not going to read all the stories in this one, but I will read this, A Sonnet for Crows, which is the opener. I look up at a telephone pole while crossing the street. A pair of weather-worn canvas sneakers dangles like a noose, while my friends, the crows, observe the passers-by from their perch atop the pole. It is often a trio of them standing there, and I wonder if they are the same crows each day I pass through. Where is the rest of the flock? No, sorry, the murder. Returning to town hours later, stepping off the trolley, I look up at the pole once again. The crow, with a glint of silver in its feathers, has separated from the rest in pursuit of a dusty brown rat, whose oblong form darts between the agile pecks of the seasoned crovis, eager to puncture flesh. Who will draw first blood, I wonder? That one's a little ominous, but don't worry. We are ending on a high note with hot takes on queer online dating. This one was so awesome. Another one of my nearby neighbors, and they were just giving this one out for free, which was so cool. And it's an interview style. So this person interviewed their friends on queer dating. And the opener, like, this one made me laugh so much. And I am not queer, but I think queer people can be so funny. It says, "Dear reader, in this year of our Lord 2025, anyone can look hot on the internet. So why is it that so many of our queer community are out here on these apps with dumpy ass profiles? How can we get back to our slutty roots? Dating is nice. So if I message you, are you going to respond? This zine, made up of interviews with four queer swipers, is an homage to a brighter, hornier, gayer future. Let's build it together." And then this was another part that made me laugh. The first spread is, what's a swipe left for you and what's a swipe right? And again, with the collages, they collaged the answers of their interviewees. And on swipe left, so a no on the dating app, vegan, in parentheses. This is anonymous, right? Tie-dye, too much, what I read as virtue signaling. Also plaid, lack of unique statement, I'm a foodie and I enjoy the outdoors, has told me nothing. And honestly, they're not wrong, but I just thought that was so funny. Another great question from the interviewer, how would you characterize the different apps? And I don't even know what field is, but I guess it's probably specific for gay people, or I'm just that far out of the loop on dating. Tinder is Carrie. It was the first one. You're like, everyone knows Tinder, but it sucks. Also, I got shadow banned. Field is Samantha, sex forward, but incredibly unresponsive. Hinge is like Charlotte. It's like clean, easy to navigate, a little high anxiety. So I love the Sex and the City reference. So appropriate for a hot take on queer dating. This interviewee also forgot to mention who or which app would be Miranda. And I will just interject here and say I think it would be Bumble, duh. Like, Miranda always wants all the control in her life. Like, she, I mean, yeah, I think that makes sense for Miranda. But I'm wondering why the interviewee didn't mention her. It's so appropriate for hot takes on queer online dating. Great zine. So glad that I was there to snatch it up. And with that, that was my zine haul. And I will now talk about one more zine. This one I made after the fact. And it was kind of a zine sprint for me because I made it in just like a few hours before this podcast. It is my zine punch card challenge. And so this one is based on an experiment I've been doing for the last month where I created a punch card for myself where, like, for example, there was I wanted to go to the gym 3 times a week. So I did 3 times 4, 12 virtual punches. And so I had a bunch of healthy habit ones. And then I also had, like, curb my spending. I only get to go to a coffee shop 4 times in a month. So that's 4 punches and so on and so forth. So last month, for the month of June, I did it virtually. I just had a simple note in my phone with emojis for the punches. And it worked. It really worked. It made me motivated to accomplish my healthy habits. It helped me curb my spending. And so I wanted to make it into a zine format. And so many, like, obstacles as I was making this zine, but it was fun to, like, try to make it quickly but well, and also just, like, sprint for it, you know? So I just did, like, some custom little doodles for each one. And so the first one's make art, and that one's 4 punches. So I'm trying to make 4 pieces of art this month, which is a low bar, but I've got a lot of goals for the month, so I'm trying to make it accomplishable. This next one is read 4 books in a month, and then also read in bed before I go to sleep, because that's a habit I want to start. So the punches work to help you start a habit as well. Another attempt at 3 times a week in the gym. So I'm excited to do it again. Take a photography walk. And this one leads into kind of another project I've been working on, which I'll mention at the end. So stay tuned. And then my save money page, which I'm giving myself 4 coffees, 4 lunches out, 4 dinners or brunches, and 4 drinks out, which I didn't actually use all my punches last month, and that's kind of the goal with this page, is to not use all the punches. So we'll see how I do for July. And then the last page, you get to write your reward if you successfully complete the punch challenge. So this one's going to be available in the link in this description on my website. All my zines are available for free on my website. Oh my God. It's Editor Angela. I have never really done this, but I completely forgot to talk about that thing I just alluded to for you. But for me, it's been like 20 minutes. I wanted to tell you about my little DigiCam project, which is part of the reason I put Photography Walk as one of my punch card challenges. I got this little Kodak. It's called the Kodak EasyShare Z1485IS, and it's like from 2008. So I'm totally going for the DigiCam trend. I went all in. I like bedazzled a little strap for it. It's actually really cute. It says, so yeah, the strap says 1, 2, 3 cheese, and I'll power it on for you too, so you can see if you're watching. But basically, this camera is my attempt to just move away from being on my phone all the time and just try to take pictures without getting distracted by my phone. These are from ZineFest. I'm actually seeing them for the first time here. Yeah, that was my little, like, setup with the stand and my blanket. I didn't even mention this. I used my cat blanket, which Grant got me as a present, and I got a lot of compliments on it because obviously cats. So yeah, like I made an entire website dedicated to my DigiCam era. So yeah, like it's called theunstagram.com, and it's live right now, so you can go check it out. I'll link it in the description of the podcast. But basically, it's my attempt at moving away from Instagram. That's why it's called Unstagram, although I did not want to get sued, and Unstagram.com was taken. So the Unstagram, and yeah, check it out. Get inspired. I have an entire manifesto on there, and maybe next podcast episode I'll talk more about it, because I only just started the project, so I don't have a lot to say, and I've only just bought the camera like a few weeks ago. So yeah, check it out. That's all. Now back to the end of the podcast. If you're new here, thanks so much for listening. If you have been with me for a while, again, thanks for listening, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye.